Good day and welcome to I Hear America Talking with Bertan Collier. My guest today is Karen Kaufman. She's co-founding principal of K Partners and author of Magic, Making a Good Impression Count on and Off the Golf Course. Welcome to the program, Karen.
Thank you.
What year was K Partners founded and who was your co-founding principal?
1986. And my co-founding principal was Don Kaufman, who is my late husband of 45 years.
And what was your goal in creating K-Partners? What did you see lacking that you felt K-Partners would fulfill?
What we saw lacking was an emphasis in organizations with technical skills and abilities and not the human side of business. So we really teach and advocate and develop the human side of people for very smart, talented people.
Excellent. And what circumstances in the world created that world? Created for you to think that we need to do this?
Well, I saw women coming into the workforce in the late 70s, early 80s in professional roles. Before that, they were secretaries, assistants, maybe nurses, but all of a sudden they were coming into the traditional male-dominated world.
And what does K-Partners do? What is your mission?
Our mission is to help successful people be even more successful.
Mm-hmm. And what are your principal activities?
Well, we do a variety of services. We do individual services where an individual, maybe they're making a change in their career or they're transitioning out of their career or young professionals that want to upscale their presence and communication. In fact, I'm getting some of the young adults of my existing clients, and that just makes me feel so good because they are referring their children, which are their most precious resources.
Of course, and it's an excellent sign that you've done a wonderful job for them.
So they come back.
You couldn't have a better proof.
Yeah.
How did you get your start? How does one become an expert in executive coaching and leadership skills?
All right, now we're talking about a 40-year career here.
Right.
I think, and this is such a good question, because I was thinking back at age 13, I went to a lit charm school. Litz Brothers was a department store. And I just loved everything about it, where I learned to carry myself in a new way and communicate in a new way. I said, this is fascinating. So in all the roles I took on, all the jobs, they were always people facing. So I've been studying myself for all these years, but also studying people. And then later got a master's degree from the University of Pennsylvania in organizational dynamics. And in fact, my husband and I, Don, were the first couple to graduate from that program together. And that's when we really parlayed our individual service into the organizations that were really, I would say, training people well in the technical skills, but not the self-awareness, the emotional intelligence, and
the looks, the appearance.
Absolutely, appearance is a part of it. Appearance, communication, etiquette. You hear a lot about executive presence, but no one can define it. We have developed a system to help identify what are those factors that actually contribute to leadership presence.
Is it related to charisma?
Well, that's interesting. I think some people have a natural charisma. Our job My mother was an artist, so I'll digress a little bit. She was a sculptor. Mm-hmm. And I saw her take stone and then chip away and create something of beauty.
Mm-hmm.
So I see that I am not an artist in that way, but I have the eye and the experience to be able to look at someone and be with them in such a way that I can bring out their uniqueness,
mm-hmm.
and have it be memorable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So kind of parallel to what your mother did.
Yes.
Do, yeah,
yes.
Out of stone.
I that's right.
Yeah.
I have her artistry. I use people instead of stone.
I think that's wonderful. And what kind of background is needed? You did get education in it.
Well, my undergraduate was in fashion, marketing, business. Then I invested much time and resources in studying etiquette, all aspects of communication, such as communication for action, neuro-linguistic programming, ontological coaching. So I have kept myself in a learning and growing mode for my entire life because I realize that I can't contribute what I do not have.
Of course. So it's an ever-learning process.
Yes, and still learning,
yeah.
And still growing, and especially with AI right now, that I believe that the human side of business is more needed than ever.
Yeah. And how did AI change your business?
Well, for me, and I'm just beginning with it, I'm using it as a thinking partner. So for example, when I have a keynote address to do, which I do for organizations, I will say, here are the points that I want to make. Can you put it into a 30-minute timeline for me?
Uh-huh.
So that's one way that I'm using it.
And I'm sure that side is going to expand because it's growing by leaps and bounds in all aspects of our lives, some good, some not so good. How about your communication skills? Did you go to, like, classes, courses?
All of that.
All
of that. And then in my 20s, I joined something called Erhard Seminar Training.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all about transforming the quality of our life.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I was trained mm-hmm. to lead their guest seminars and their graduate seminars.
Mm-hmm.
So I led 115 of their guest seminars and between 100 and 200 of their graduate seminars. So anywhere from 25 people up to 300 people
mm-hmm.
on a weekly basis,
mm-hmm.
all volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I honed my skills to be a keen observer and have certain insights
mm-hmm.
that really contribute to people's development.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Now, who are clients or KP partners? Can you give me one or two examples today?
Yes, I can give you examples. Our clients are confidential, but many are multinational companies that want to upscale their people.
Mm-hmm.
So scientists, bankers, people in pharmaceuticals, new salespeople, accountants.
Mm-hmm.
So people that have a certain expertise, but as they get promoted,
mm-hmm.
they are no longer working specifically on their expertise. They now need to manage a team.
Right.
They are very different skill sets.
Exactly.
And ones that they didn't necessarily appreciate
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
before. But
right.
now they see what keeps them up at night
mm-hmm.
is managing the people.
Yeah.
So they are really open to learning to have some of these skills so that they can better manage their teams.
Yeah, very necessary. Tell me the origin of your interest in self-improvement. How did you developed that? Or who developed it, I should say? It leads to the next question, whether you had a mentor.
Oh, well, you know, I talked a little bit about it started with charm school and it never stopped. I enrolled in this course and enrolled in that course and then volunteered for this. It was Weight Watchers. It was, you know, so it
and
was...
your mom.
Absolutely. And my father, he spoke a lot to the national... it was called NAMI, National Association of Mental Health, because unfortunately my sister had mental illness. So he went out and spoke to different families, and then later on, Don and I did the same thing. Mm. So we were always learning and growing. And your question about mentors, I've had many mentors. Mm-hmm. My first mentor, her name was Linda. I went into the executive training program of one of our, one of the largest Philadelphia-based department stores. And I was in the executive training program. My goal was to be a buyer. If I could buy men's and women's ready-to-wear, that would be great. She took me under her wing. She taught me the business. And then when the Assistant Buyer's Day contest came up, she said, why don't you enter that contest? Mm-hmm. Which I did, and I won. Mm. And we bought overseas, and I learned about margins. Mm. And so that was a great mentoring experience. Also, the second boss I had, I learned what bad mentoring looks like. And we can learn as much from bad, quote, mentors or bosses as we can with good ones. Mm-hmm. So I learned then how I didn't want to be. And then the store manager, he walked around every morning throughout the whole five floors. And I just felt in good hands with Stanley Abelson at the helm. And that's when I learned about walk-around leadership. You have to be present. You have to ask people how they are. Mm-hmm. That people are the foundation of any business.
Mm-hmm. Questions. Questions, very key.
Yes.
Ask questions.
Yes. One of my other friends, she says, a question not asked is a door not opened.
Mm-hmm. Be curious.
Yes. Mm. So... that's the only way we can keep up.
Yeah. It opens many, many doors and sometimes surprise doors. But usually good. So I want to turn to your book, Magic, Making a Good Impression on and Off the Golf Course. How are business, golf, and relationships related?
They are related in a major way. I did not pick up a golf club until age 40. Mm. I did not come from a golf family. Mm. I knew nothing about it. Mm. What prompted me to take up the game of golf mm-hmm. and then later write the book mm-hmm. is that my executive coaching clients that were women used to complain to me that the men were out on the golf course and they were stuck in the office. Mm. And I heard that enough times that I knew as a business executive, I had to at least get in the conversation of golf and be able to speak golf. And the more I started to learn about it, I said, I've got to take lessons. And then from the first swing, something about it felt magical. Mm. And previously, I had done a seminar in Harlem for high school students, sponsored by one of the large financial institutions, Merrill Lynch at the time. And the presentation was called Making a Good Impression Count. So I took up the game at golf and I started to see the similarities between golf, business, and our life. Mm-hmm. So the way someone acts on the golf course is probably the way they act when they're not on the golf course. And since the golf course there's a certain performance demand.
Of course.
The hardest game there is.
Yeah, of course.
So emotions fly. You get to see someone's temperament. You get to see their integrity. You get to see their character. So I had always wanted to write a book. But this idea of the compatibilities between golf, business, and creating joy in our life, I just saw that connection.
Mm. And you decided to write a book.
And I finally committed to writing a book. Mm. I had started many books, but it wasn't until I wanted to be able to convey a lot of the lessons that I've learned through my consulting and coaching and working with talented people and see if I could capture it in a short, punchy, provocative book.
Mm.
So it is only 94 pages. There are three magical nuggets at the end of each chapter to help make your day, your week, and your life better.
Well, I want to ask why you called it magic. You just told me. Tell me the nuggets.
Well, there's three magical nuggets at the end of each chapter. So, all right, I'm just going to randomly open my book, and here are three. Challenge yourself to do better. That's the first. Acknowledge what you can control and what you can't control is the second. And the third is eliminate from your life what is no longer serving your best interests.
Mm-hmm.
They just resonate with people. So I set up the book like 18 holes of golf. So they're not chapters. It's hole one, why golf?
Mm.
Hole two, before arriving at the first tee. Hole three, what kind of golfer are you? Hole four, looking good and feeling good. Hole five, the courage to begin. Six, increasing personal power. Hole seven is playing competitively. Eight is the power of mentorship. Nine is practice to perform. Then you completed nine holes, the halfway house, not just a beer and a hot dog.
Right, right.
So I'll just tell you the rest. 10, dealing with unwanted emotions. 11, grit and goals. 12, just say yes. 13, challenge yourself. 14, minding your manners. 15, question your assumptions. 16, creating important relationships. 17 is golf leadership in life. Hole 18, staying present. And the 19th hole, which is the after round of golf, gratitude.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very good way to finish.
Yes, we have to be grateful every day.
Every day, every minute, every day. Tell me who's the target audience, target reader for this book, or target audience for this book.
All right. So I think young professionals, I'm learning that seasoned professionals are using the book as a mentoring tool. It's for women considering the game of golf.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of my passions is golf is good business.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely want more women to get in the game. It's for corporations that want to help develop their talent. So I'm selling them to organizations that are buying 100 or 200 books for their talent.
Mm-hmm.
It's an easy way to help develop people.
Right.
And then it's for golfers that maybe they've lost a little bit of the fun out of the game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's multi.
It's multi.
Yeah.
I use golf as a metaphor. So it's not really a golf book. It's for anyone that wants to tap in to their personal power and joy in their life.
Mm-hmm. And I always heard that a lot of business deals are concluded on the golf courses.
That was true for me. I'll tell you a little story. We had done some work for a company, and they were very pleased. They heard we had just, or we told them, we had just joined a private golf club, because before that, you know, we were playing at different public courses. They said, oh, we'd love to go out with you. And I thought, oh no, you know, we're beginner golfers. They've seen our work. They're happy with it. I hope we don't ruin it with our golf game. We went, they were more seasoned than us. You know, I said, how do you do this shot? You know, so I was asking their advice. We had lunch afterwards. And they said, you know, we'd like to hire you again to do this project and this project. And it was just wonderful that we took the risk of taking them out on the golf course, even though we were only beginners. And still we were able to continue the professional relationship, and they actually became friends, which happens a lot of times with our clients and the long-term mm-hmm. relationships that mm-hmm. we have. Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a great way to network. It's a great way to communicate, and maybe more relaxed in an office setting, because you're outside in the world, fresh air and beautiful surroundings.
And out of the office for hours. Around the golf takes 4 hours. You can also do nine and dine, mm-hmm. which sometimes I prefer, but you really get to know each other. You talk about the benefits of golf. I have met so many new relationships and have played at so many beautiful places because I took up the game, and now I'm an advocate for other people to take it, because there's just so many advantages.
Of course there are. Also, I always heard that especially businessmen, they were not interested in other exercise, you know, walking, kayaking, swimming, boxing, any of that, but golf, yes, because you're outside and you're in natural clothes, casual clothes, you're walking a lot, you're chatting a lot,
I think it's something else. High performers, the golf game takes a lot of strategy.
Uh-huh.
And they always want that perfect shot and to be able to become very good. And it's a game within yourself. It's yourself against the course. Mm-hmm. There is no one else. There is a score. It's measurable. So it attracts a certain kind of person.
Type A.
Yes.
Yeah.
To the game.
Yeah. I can see that. I always heard that. So what are the 10 tips for making good impression on and off the golf course?
Okay. So these are the 10 principles for making a good impression count on and off the golf course. 1, be accountable for your golf strokes and your own actions.
Mm-hmm.
2, persistence and determination are essential in golf and life. 3, keep the end game in mind, but live in the present. 4, have patience and trust in the process, even in difficult situations. 5, being a beginner is hard, but we all have to start somewhere. 6, don't count yourself out of a golf hole or life's opportunities. 7, don't compare yourself to others. Focus on your own game. 8, matches are won by one stroke.
Mm-hmm.
They all count. 9, through practice and experience, you will gain confidence. And the last, number 10, win and lose graciously on and off the course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wonderful. They're great, great tips. Also, of course, applicable to life. Tell me, speaking of difficulties, what do you do when you run into obstacles, when you have difficult personalities or corporations not willing to change?
Well,
or listen to you?
Well, I move on. I mean, that's the short answer.
You don't try to change their mind?
if people are not willing, you have to be willing, ready, and able. Without any of those three things, people can't learn, whether they're willing, they're ready, or they're able. But what I find, I should digress a little bit. When we started executive coaching in the mid-80s, companies would send to us the people that were derailing, mm-hmm. that weren't doing well. Mm-hmm. Executive coaching was a last-ditch effort. Mm-hmm. It became very clear very quickly that that's bad money spent. The best money spent is in high performers. And if you look at sports, every athlete has 1, 2, 3 coaches. So you want to coach the high performers to continue to excel. So I don't want to waste my time. I don't want to waste my energy. I want to have long-term clients. Mm-hmm. So if it's clear that for whatever the reason, it could be the dynamics, it could be the people have had bad experience in the past.
Right.
There, it could be any number of things. You have to know when to move on.
Okay, so you don't try to change. You move on. I understand. We just have a few minutes left. I do want to ask you, what's the role of polished looks and appearance in effective and result-oriented communication? I know this is a good part of your business.
Yeah, so when in the early years, we started as image consultants, consulting people on their dress, on their grooming, because a lot of people didn't know how to package themselves. Mm-hmm. So we went from image to etiquette to communication. Then during our time at Penn, we rephrased or repackaged image development into impression management. And then we saw that once people get beyond the impression, it links to relationship development and it links to performance and leadership. Mm-hmm. So it's an evolution.
Right.
So that's our particular niche. There are other executive coaches and firms that work in different areas. We have a particular expertise in impression management.
And that goes back to your days with Litz Brothers?
It goes back to being an executive in retail, in buying men's and women's ready-to-wear, in starting a department for them when they wanted a dress for success department for women coming into the workforce. My initial concept in 1979, before we started the corporate company, was as a personal fashion consultant. Mm-hmm. For professionals. Mm-hmm. And then it evolved from there.
There was a very popular book, I think it was called Dress for Success.
Exactly. And that was at the cornerstone. It came out in the late 70s, and we just rode that wave. The difference is we work with people from the inside out, their inner self, because we don't do makeovers. It's bringing out the beauty and the uniqueness in each person, mm-hmm. so that they don't regress, because it's who they are. It's an evolution of their style.
Mm-hmm. But you help them get that, develop that style.
Absolutely, and I'm still doing that today. Mm-hmm. Some of our business is individual clients, and that's what a lot of my personal reputation is built on. So I call it now Reimagining You, and that's what's on our website right now.
That's a wonderful terminology. What is one last piece of advice you'd like to give to our audience for their best life?
Invest in yourself. Become self-aware. That's how you develop. We can't change what we don't see. So we each have to become a student of our own development and our own self.
Fabulous. Thank you. My guest today was Karen Kaufman. She's co-founding principal of K-Partners, who together with David Grad, executive vice president, provides coaching expertise in executive presence, organizational dynamics, communications, appearance, as you just heard, and leadership skills. Congratulations. This is Bertrand Collier saying thank you for listening and have a good day.